Breakfast puppies?
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
So, NPC, what are we drinking tonight?
We are drinking Yazzie ginger flavored vodka mixed with Bittermilk number 5, I think it's called. Bittermilk number 5, handcrafted cocktail mixer, charred grapefruit tonic with Bull's Bay sea salt.
Oh, that's out of the Carolinas.
These two things were given to me by my best man at my wedding on my birthday. And
oh, yeah.
He gave it to me specifically because Yazzie has a dragon on the bottle.
Sure does.
And the place that he bought it from, the guy that sold it to him was swearing up and down that you have to mix it with the Bittermilk.
Bittermilk. Bittermilk.
Yeah, that's out of Charleston.
I feel like it could be.
I was just there last year.
This
smells good.
It is good. Yeah. I added just a splash of water and it opens it up and smooths out the flavor a little bit.
This is tasty. This is not what I was expecting to put in my mouth. You know, I think I say that a lot on this
just
podcast.
Give it that grapefruit bitter milk is pretty.
Yeah, that's sweeter than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or something called bitter.
I want to pour that over smoked pork.
I assume that it was to do with bitters, but it doesn't really seem like it's connected at all.
Oh, man. Poppy and I make this pulled pork special. This would be perfect with. This really would.
Yeah. You don't want to do it while it's cooking, but you want to mount it right before it hits the table.
That pulled pork recipe we had at our wedding that you and your sweetie made. Thank you so much.
Speaking of sweet things you want to mount at the table,
hey-o.
You're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
That's us.
Recorded here in Portland, Oregon. As usual, I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais.
And Tinsel, but with an L.
I love that.
Has anyone ever been mounted at this table?
No, this table is a virgin. However, I know a number of virgins have been sacrificed in our hammer call games at this table.
That's a good point. That counts.
Close enough.
There was a lot of goblin mounting and vampire mounting and
vampire halfling mounting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to keep this table nice. This is like adult furniture.
I noticed
not the XXX kind of way, in the like, we paid good money for this and we want to keep it nice. So don't fuck on it.
You've got it nice and plastic covered so that it's easy to keep the blood off.
Exactly. Blood cleans right off of this. Super easy. Most bodily fluids actually clean off of this very well.
You know, if you ever go over to a friend's house and you're walking around and you notice massive rolls of plastic wrap, be afraid.
You know, I have rolls of plastic wrap at my house, and I don't know why.
Uh-huh. I think
it might have been for peeing.
What about a really large tool chest full of various soft or sharp objects?
Slightly rusty.
Carving through soft
things.
Wow,
rusty, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I guess if you're going to be a serial murderer, you might as well use rusty implements.
You're not going to give them tetanus at that point, but it's going to be scary.
If you're the kind of person who's going to use rusty implements, you're probably not the kind of person who gives a shit
about
cheating.
How hard is it to get a bone saw in this country? Probably not that hard.
No, not very hard.
Not very hard.
Especially in this town.
Yeah, super easy.
Yeah, it's... There's three places in the Southeast you can pick them up a walk-in.
I know a guy. Yeah.
And if you need, I got a box of cutting implements and some rolls of Visqueen in my garage. So just come on over.
This is getting real weird.
I think
we fell down
this rabbit hole.
I don't know how we fell down this rabbit hole, but we're going to follow it all the way to the road.
No.
With the February freezes coming to a thaw, well,
we can hope.
Depending upon who you're talking about.
We hope so.
Should we start again?
It was okay this morning. We were supposed to freeze last night, but it didn't. The rides of March are once again upon us.
Woo!
For those of us like me, that is, who are fair weather riders, I assume that some of you have been riding all year long. You're braver than I. Black ice. Yep. Once, never again. So anyway, take this away, Jacob. Where are we riding?
We've just wrapped up here in Portland the Motorcycle One show. 10th year, folks.
Mm. It's
become
a
landmark. It made national press this year.
Nice.
Pretty big deal. March is kind of a low point for organized rides. Most people have either done their season openers in February or they're going to be doing them in April. However, there are a couple people who have events on the calendar. First of all, Abate Oregon, Southeast Chapter of
now,
Portland.
Is that Abate as in A-B-A-T?
Okay.
Not as not, in B-A-I-T. They're not bait.
No.
Ba-bum.
No. Ba-bum.
Biker bait.
That's not a fishing event.
It's not a fishing event.
Hard pass.
The Abate Motorcycle Swap Meet is on Sunday, March 31st, 2019, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's going to be, there is a $5 entry fee. It's at the Elks Lodge on McLaughlin Avenue.
Oh, sweet.
We'll post links in the notes. It's just a swap meet, but a lot of people ride in, and it's a great place to get connected. There are many organizations that have a semi-formal presence there. The Oregon Vintage Motorcycle Association, some of the different clubs and groups in town will actually get booth space. And at the very least, they'll do a meetup of it.
What kind of swap things are swapped at a motorcycle swap meet?
Everything.
Like people are, is it mostly about repairs? People doing a lot of upgrades? And
I have a Suzuki SRX rolling chassis. You have a Yamaha 250 engine.
Bikes, huh? Right on.
Let's make a deal.
That's awesome.
It's parts. Sweet. It's like I've decided to clean out the garage because my husband's mad at me. So here are my 6 sets of handlebars.
Right on.
That's a story from a friend of mine.
He doesn't understand.
He didn't, and that's why the divorce happened.
Aww.
Or maybe it was great. Maybe it was great.
Maybe that was the best for both of them. Sometimes relationships just kids
look, we don't judge.
Mommy and daddy still love you very much, but sometimes mommy and daddy just can't live together anymore.
Yes,
especially with all of those excess motorcycle handlebars.
Exactly.
Latest Motors over in Gladstone,
and that's latest, L-A-T-U-S, not latest.
Yeah, we'll post the website in the
how do you spell that? Sorry,
it's like Lotus but with an A.
Oh,
L-A-T-U-S.
Latest.
It's pronounced latest. It's spelled lattice.
Lattice.
Are you on the fence about that one?
I am on the fence about that one. Very on the fence. If it wasn't for the fact that I have hung with the owner and heard him pronounce his own name. Anyways.
That was a joke.
Oh.
We love you, latest.
Thank you, latest. Latest, if you're looking to sponsor the podcast. Sorry, Jacob, continue.
I was going to have a series of events. However, they haven't calendared them
yet. Are they unfortunate events?
Oh, geez.
God damn you.
We support all of our motorcycle dealers in the area, without exception. And so I am sure that all of their events, even though they are not on the calendar yet, are going to be wonderful. Latest Motors is a Harley Davidson and Triumph dealership. And even on their Triumph side, tend to merge a little bit more towards the dual sport side of the Triumph line. It's worth going in, folks. If you need patches sewn on your leather vests or have leather work you need to have done, it's the dealer they have at Latus does a great job of sewing up. Just drop in on a Saturday. They're usually there.
Right on.
They'll hook you up.
Showing up
That's
to sew
awesome.
Up.
Showing up to sew up.
They are not Castle Greyjoy.
They're not Castle Greyjoy.
They okay. do so.
You say this, but I have a Greyjoy patch on my vest.
And I think you ironed it on.
Wait, like He-Man Castle Greyjoy?
That's Greyskull.
Greyskull. What's Greyjoy?
No, Greyjoy's from God. Game of Thrones, from Song of Ice and Fire.
Greyjoy? Oh, the Greyjoys.
Iron Island. Yeah, the Reavers.
Oh.
So I iron any patch that I have that is iron on. I iron it on first, and then I sew it, because it's so much easier
to sew
a patch that's not moving around as you sew it.
Mm-hmm.
That said, half my patches are cloth, so
mm-hmm.
And NPC, who taught you how to sew?
You did.
I did, and you're so good.
Specifically for my battle jacket.
I know, I'm so proud of you.
Hey, NPC, for that service of teaching you how to sew, did you pay the gold price or the iron price?
I gave Poppy 5 salt wives.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't know what she's done with them, but I do occasionally hear panicked thumps from the closet when I am working remote. I pay them no heed.
Yeah, you'll never know.
Wow. What are you guys doing so far from the ocean?
We're not that far. And we take at least 4 sabbaticals to the ocean every year, my friend.
There's a river that goes directly to the ocean.
That's true. And bone saws. Come on, keep up.
And we prefer our coastal regions to be cold, salty, rocky, and deadly.
And that's why the weather of Colombia meets the Pacific is the graveyard of the Pacific.
Even Thor himself has placed his hammer down and played a well upon our coastal region.
Oh, Thor's well is not for the late of heart, mateys.
But be careful. Don't fall into the devil's butthole.
I think we just did.
Yeah.
Wait, was it devil's cock ring?
It was Thor's cock ring, devil's butthole, or something like that.
Yeah. I don't think it's the butthole.
Anyway, so it's March and there's bike March. Rides.
Every Saturday. Every Saturday at Paradise Motors, you can go and hook up with the local hog chapter. There is an open ride for riders of any model, even though it's a Harley-Davidson dealership and a Harley-Davidson club. Also, second Saturday in March, there is the Star Touring Motorcycle Association club meeting up at Bob Lamphere's Motorcycles.
Fun fact, dear listener. If you are not the kind of person who is super into motorcycles, you've always wondered where the term hog came from. Harley-Davidson Motors.
Mm-hmm.
Their mascot is a pig.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Is there... How is it that I never learned that in 43 years of life?
The more you know.
Huh.
It's a pig. Is it a pig dressed in leathers with a helmet?
Duh.
Probably no helmet.
Duh. I say like I know. Duh, idiot.
I mean, I bet you
it sometimes is rendered with a helmet. It was originally rendered with one of the classic leather caps.
Sure.
The earliest
pig is not AT-GAT.
The earliest no, definitely not. The earliest versions I have ever seen pictures of are a little leather daddy.
Yeah.
So when you need
no helmet and no pants,
leather daddy. Yeah.
No. Chaps.
Chaps, but no shorts.
Nice. You know, the term assless chaps is amusing because chaps are assless.
They are, yeah.
By nature.
I think
by
the
nature.
Real strange Otherwise, thing would be assed chaps.
Those are just pants.
That's like kind of saying, you know, my friend, one pants. Of those two-armed humans.
Right.
Like, oh, yes.
But you have two-armed friends, too?
I am also a two-armed human.
Like, yeah.
Who knew? Yeah. All right, what other wonderful things can we illuminate over the course of this recording?
So I dug deep. And I need to look my brother Xander in the eye and go, man, I tried. I could not find any organized bicycle event other than the Tandem Owners Association ride.
God, really?
Yeah.
Hey. There's nothing wrong with tandem bikes.
Well,
they're pretty cool. They're bougie as fuck.
It's pretty cool. It's invite only.
Oh. Okay.
Boo.
That's bougie as fuck, but why are tandem bikes bougie?
Because they're generally like $2,000.
They're expensive.
Yeah.
And you require a whole other person.
Oh. People are expensive.
Are there singles tandem riders events?
Portland is a town of introverts. And that the concept of a tandem bike club in Portland is bougie as fuck.
It would be sweet if it was tandem, like, but there are people who are single and they ride a tandem. They're like, hey, like, join me on my tandem.
Tandem speed dating
event. Oh! Genius idea.
Yes.
Heard it here first.
All I'm going to say is that in the San Francisco area, there is a tandem swingers club.
Really?
Ow, they're heavy, too. I don't know how you get them to swing.
Do I have to go in tandem to this event?
You have to get an invite. You have to own a tandem.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Hey, can we talk briefly about what happened to the worst day of the year ride?
Oh, that's yes.
February,
yes.
right?
Yes, it yes. Happened, let's talk about it.
But yep. my understanding no, is it that did it was
not
canceled.
It did not happen.
Because the weather was too bad.
Because the weather was too bad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But then it wasn't so bad because the no, weather wasn't not. Nearly as bad as it was supposed to be. Because
wait, was it supposed to be that snowpocalypse weekend
the
that
first,
didn't happen?
Yep. The first of the two snowy big weekends, yeah.
Well, and we had originally talked about going to the worst day of the year ride, and then we were all like, nah, we're fucking busy.
So, but I thought that they were going to reschedule it.
They did. I think it already happened.
It got rescheduled to a different day that was also snowy.
I think so.
That's awesome.
No, but all I know, though, is that if you're going to have the worst year of the worst day,
day
of the year ride.
Nope, go with it. Worst year of the day ride.
Yeah, the worst year of the day ride. And that day ends up being the worst weather day of the year. You can't cancel that event.
Right. Yeah, that's fucked up. That's like the.
That's like saying, we're going to go and march into the fiery pits of hell. Oh, it's a little smoky in here today, folks.
Smog count's a little high.
Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to stay
you
home.
Know what? You know what? My respiratory's a little.
That's the whole point.
The whole point is that it's supposed to be a shitty day. Like, if you go on the worst day of the year ride and it's, you know, 50 and sunny, which would be outstanding for this time of year, I would go, fuck this ride.
Right.
This ride is bullshit. Right. It's too nice. So when it's supposed to snow, and it does.
Or doesn't.
I think it did a little bit.
Oh, yeah, but there wasn't any on the road.
It wasn't like the 5-8 inches they predicted. It was like the half inch or whatever
it was. You know
what?
The angry weather gods, fuck you. I was so excited for that. There was a work conference that was happening that Monday that was destined to be closed by the weather.
Yeah.
And it would have been the greatest, wonderful release for me to not have to go to this conference.
Yeah.
But I had to go because the Portland weather gods are douchebags.
Yes.
We used to have shitty meteorologists. They're just bad.
Seattle got caught under feet of snow and Los Angeles, but Northern California is under feet of water. And what do we get? Sunshine. Ugh, the worst.
Case in point. I follow weatherunderground.com. I use their app. I go to the website. It's a great thing. On the app, it tells you what weather station it's pulling the report from.
Mm-hmm.
When I put in my zip code, it always pulls from a weather station called, and I quote, Psychopath on Fremont.
Mm. That guy has the best weather.
That's amazing.
Whoever you are, Psychopath.
We love you.
Fremont.
I'm on to you.
I used to use Weather Underground, but I read recently that there's a, if you live in the Portland area, AccuWeather is statistically better.
Hmm. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
All I know, though, is that you canceled the worst day of the year ride when it wasn't that bad. And even if it was, do it anyways.
Yeah, right? Do it anyway.
It's the point.
Any other rides coming up, Jacob?
That is it for what we've been able to run down. However, I'd like to throw something out. We're looking at April. There's bunches of rides coming in April. We're collecting them. If you or your organization want to reach out to us, we'll at least get it on the feed, and we can even talk about doing a bit about it. We already have one org looking at having a bit dropped in our stream about their event in April, and we'd gladly welcome others.
Most exciting.
And you got to get those in soon, folks, because our last recording in March will be the time you got to get that in. We are taking a break from recording in April due to convention season.
Which we're about to talk about.
Which we are about to tell you more about.
As we take this to the gaming table.
And it's con season.
Hooray!
Cons of all kinds, comic cons, game cons, role play cons, cosplay cons, retro gaming cons.
I don't care about any of those unless they have dice rolling.
Okay.
Technically, many of those.
Wow,
could.
So close-minded, NPC.
Hey, man, I know what I'm here for.
What if they use cards as their randomizer?
I'm here for
mechanic?
Bikers, dice, and bars.
Well then, sir, I have the con for you. March 28th through the 31st, GameStorm 21.
Hot dog.
Janssen Beach here in Portland, Oregon at the Red Lion Inn.
Now, we talked about this convention on our second or third episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a number of conventions. We're going to give you a little bit more of an introduction now.
Yeah.
What? I believe, Jacob, you're on the staff.
I am affiliated with the organization that runs this and a couple other cons in the area.
Hot dog.
So Game Storm, as the game, as the title kind of implies, is all about games. This is not your Comic-Con. This is not your Dragon Meet. This is not any of those ones where it's more about science fiction and fantasy literature and media. It's about games.
Right on.
What if it's a game about science fiction and literature?
Count it.
Done. Cool.
You said game.
Yes, you said game.
Ah.
That does not mean there are not people wandering around rocking some awesome cosplay. That does not mean there aren't some tracks on the panel segment that are talking about literature and all of that. No, we're not doing a drug track this year.
No, not those tracks.
I will say that GameStorm's cosplay presence is minimal.
Is minimal, but it does exist.
Yeah.
Would you say that it's not so good for people watching in that regard? Or do you think that just because people are dressed as themselves, it's better for people watching?
It depends on what you look for in people watching.
Yeah.
That sounds like it'd be phenomenal, people watching.
There is some,
costume watching is just different.
There are some excellent, excellent people watching that can happen at GameStorm.
That said, let's go with some guests of honor this year. That gives you a set. This yeah. year, you know, the guests of honor for GameStorm are always, you know, a little bit random, but this year really drives home the feel of this year's con. Role-playing guest of honor, Jason Bullman.
I've never heard of this person.
He works for Paizo.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, Pathfinder is coming out with Pathfinder 2nd Edition / Pathfinder 2.0.
Yay.
Yay. He also did a lot of work on the Starfinder lines.
Yay.
So I know that there are some humbugs at the table.
Yeah, what's up, NPC?
I sympathize, my brother, with what brings your bad mood. But Portland actually has a pretty substantial organized role-playing scene. And Paizo is one of the cornerstones of organized role-playing in the U.S. at the moment.
Yeah.
And we are so lucky that at GameStorm that not only is our role-playing guest of honor one of the staff writers for Paizo, the organized role-playing track has its own specific guest of honor, which is staff from Paizo are coming out to help run organized role-playing. For those of you who don't know, organized role-playing is like playing a Dungeons & Dragons game that's also being played at many, many other tables across the United States.
Okay, so, Mr. Jacob, I got a question.
Yeah.
Is GameStorm going to be giving actual attention to the role players this year and not treating them like second-class citizens?
I was going to get to that.
Because they give the organized role play the massive ballroom, and they shove the role players of everything else into these tiny, cramped, sweaty, stinky rooms in the bottom.
We'll get to that.
One bathroom for the whole floor.
One fucking bathroom.
One, not even a bathroom. One toilet.
Sounds like you guys aren't very excited about this con.
Oh, no. I go to GameStorm every year. I love it. Got problems.
Same. Here's the thing. I have the answer to that question. You're going to fucking wait.
You son of a bitch.
Board game guest of honor is Manny Tremblay. He works for 1v1 games and has done the recent release Dice Throne. It looks like a really fun game. I'm looking forward to demoing it at GameStorm. Supposedly they're going to have some demo tables.
Nice.
Publisher guest of honor, Ray Weers. That's W-E-H-R-S. I may be pronouncing it wrong. He's the president of Calliope Games. Calliope makes some of my favorite games. Suro and Roll With It.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
I'm looking forward to seeing that man.
And I will say that GameStorm has an amazing board game presence.
So
if that's what you're going for, they give top. Honestly, they pretty much focus on board games more than anything
that's
else.
That's their big thing.
It's amazing.
Their board game library is pretty impressive.
Yep. So let's talk about the board game library, because that's one of the cornerstones of the GameStorm experience. GameStorm has this massive, owned by the nonprofit, board game library that you walk up, you show them your con badge, they write down your badge number, and you can pull from the several hundred games they have on the shelves and take and play it with your friends at the con. It's a great way to come and play a game you've never played before.
And so this is just a cool thing that is included with the price of your badge to this convention?
Exactly. Unlike a lot of gaming cons, this is a what is called a non-ticketed con.
Nice.
You don't pay extra money to get tickets to get into
the
game.
Wait, what?
That's fantastic.
You have your head count, a price on that count, and that gets you everything.
Everything. That gets you into every single event. That gets you early sign-ups if you register in time. It gets you into the snack room. It gets you into every special event.
I'm sorry, there's a snack room?
There's a hospitality suite.
There is a hospitality suite.
They do 3 meals a day and one snack?
It's we've gone to 2 light meals and then a more substantial dinner-ish meal.
Gotcha.
And that's included with the badge.
Yes.
Yes.
I do want to give a shout out to the early days of GameStorm when the hospitality suite was small ass hotel room somewhere hidden in the hotel that you had to go on a scavenger hunt to find. And they had burgers and sandwiches in there. And there was no one else in there but you and the one person making the food. And it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have like Hot Pockets and like
occasionally,
sometimes. And many people will talk about the hospitality and how it's gone downhill. And I sympathize with that. The reality is that for cons that host hospitality rooms, hotel rules have gotten a lot more involved on what you can and cannot do.
Yeah. And it's the con has grown substantially over the last 10 years.
Over 1,700 last year.
Yeah, and the people in the hospitality suite are all volunteers and they're working their asses off.
So, back to board games. One of the most important parts of GameStorm is this thing called Game Lab. Game Lab. So if you are serious about games, if you are really serious about games and you like are verging where you start looking into like game design and stuff, there is a section of GameStorm called Game Lab where producers come out and game designers come out and demo games they have in concept. And if you out there have a game that you want to test, even if all you've done is slapped post-it notes on a deck of bicycle playing cards and you just want to test mechanics with other people, you can sign up for it.
So this is just an entire event where people who have a game that they want to work on and want to go and present to the world and want to test and play test it, essentially.
And get feedback to
play testing it.
From other designers.
You just kind of show up, and I'm sure there's a limited number.
You have to sign up for a slot, but it can be done.
So, that sounds like it could be outstanding and hilarious.
There's also an incentive as a player to sign up for Game Lab games because that makes you eligible for Game Lab raffles and giveaways.
In addition to raffles and giveaways, play and win brand new games. You sign up, you play a game, sometimes a game that's brand new on the market, and at the end of the con, they raffle off the games to people, but only to people who have played these new games.
Do you know if the library, which you spoke of earlier, is accepting gift games from other people?
If you want to donate games to the game library, first of all, OSFCI, which is the parent organization, is a 501c3. So first of all, it might be a tax deductible and donation. So
sure.
But yes, they do accept donations on games that are in good shape and meet their format. NPC.
Yeah.
You were looking for information on role-playing this year.
Yeah, I want to know if we're going to be shoved down into the bowels of the hotel.
Down in the hidey hole.
In the overflow rooms, or if they're going to treat the general role-playing as well as they do the organized play.
Well, you want to know about role-playing. So let me start out with some high-level stuff.
Okay.
We currently have, as of this moment, over 70 sessions of role-playing signed up over the course of the weekend.
Wow.
And we are looking at over 30 GMs signed up by con.
Nice.
And we are going to have the return of the Fateful Friday theme track on Friday night of games powered by Fate.
Okay.
Not all role-playing games will be Fate, so you Fate haters out there, you will have some place to go. I will see you there.
Fate haters.
We're not forced to be drinking in the bar.
It'll just be a test of fate.
However, if you want to know more about the Fate role-playing game, I recommend checking out our sister podcast, Half Movies, Will Game. One of our recent episodes, we talk about Deadpool, and our good friend Jerome joins us and actually educates us on that game.
It's worth hearing. I disagree.
On Friday night at GameStorm, I'll be drinking in the bar, most likely. So
on Saturday, it is the ever popular Savage Saturday.
I was
Saturday
about
night.
To ask you if that was coming Savage back.
That Saturday. Is coming back.
Yep.
So, Poppy, bust out your dice chart and get ready to game.
I gotta make a new dice chart. Oh my goodness.
Okay, so you still have yet to answer my question. How is the convention treating role players who are not attached to the organized play track?
Well, there's been a lot of changes this year, NPC.
You sound like a politician.
You have my vote.
NPC, you were, I believe, concerned that over the, since we, the con moved to the Red Lion Inn, it's, you, role-playing has been shoved in the Overton and Lovejoy rooms, which are in one of the wings. They're in the basement.
They're in the basement.
There's not a window in the place.
There's a single unisex bathroom with a locking door in one stall.
Yes.
That's just to help you get into character better, yeah. So that way you don't have distractions.
I'm sorry. I thought this was a dungeon crawl.
You know what? Different dungeon crawls have different dungeon masters, and that's a different podcast.
My dungeon crawls really need bathrooms.
Well then, m'lady, I have some news for you.
Oh.
The con has been reorganized. Things have been moved around. The dealer's area has been radically rearranged. And we are now in the basement, but we are in the main concourse basement, which, if for those of you who are in the Red Lion, you go in.
Oh.
It's you, the best basement.
You head for the bar.
But
and
you
then
go
you
downstairs.
Go downstairs. And we are in, role players are in several of the large, higher ceilinged door proppable to the outside to let air in and
ooh,
out.
Yes!
The non-stinky rooms.
The non-stinky rooms.
Amazing.
Brothers and enjoy sisters, stink- our time has come.
Enjoy the stinky room, LARPers. No, just kidding.
Actually, the LARPers once again have a really cool room. And
it's all the way back down to the basement and around the corner where no one can find them.
Where they belong.
They actually, this year, as like last year, GameStorm has no less than 3 LARP rooms for up to 3 LARP games. I know some people are not big fans of LARP. I will say that LARP is one of the very popular tracks at
don't
the convention.
LARP.
I actually got my stint in game design and live action roleplay through Dragon Con. I want to give a shout out to this banner sitting here behind Denzel. This is the Streetwise banner, the first game I ever designed and actually had people fall in love with. It's how I bonded with one of my best friends in the world who actually left us a good review. Thanks, The Scrag.
Yay,
our
thanks,
only
The Scrag.
Listener. Okay, the other listeners are pretty cool too, but we tend to joke about Greg being the listener.
Well, also Tin Man, my fan.
Tin Man is a solid listen. Thanks, Tin Man.
Thank you, Tin Man.
Thank you, Tin Man.
Yeah, I'm slurring
every time
right now.
I
this drink is really hitting me hard.
Well, and our first iTunes reviewer, the Gun Street Girl.
Oh, thanks, Gun Street Girl.
Years ago at GameStorm, I played in Og, the Caveman LARP.
Oh, Og is coming back this year yeah. by popular demand.
Caveman LARP.
Oh, here's the premise of Og. You are a caveman, and you have a pool noodle, and you know 13 words. And whenever you hit someone, you forget a word. So, and you can only communicate to each other with the 13 words that you know.
That sounds amazing.
It
so
is.
So I remember a story of an Og LARPer where she was telling me how she totally managed to win a scenario with the enemy's tribe by walking over to them and saying, moving seductively, saying, "Wet hairy cave sleep." And everyone was like, "What? How did Gibbs leave?" And then they all started hitting each other with pool noodles to see who would get the first wet, hairy case sleep. And then she left, and she had wiped out their clan.
Amazing.
Amazing.
So she was sort of like the Typhoid Mary, but she was Og.
She was wet, hairy cave
sleep. Wet, hairy cave sleep.
She so, augmented the entire enemy tribe.
On the LARP track, we will having regulars, Theater Arcanos, out of the San Francisco Bay Area, up doing one of their famous LARPs yet again.
Which one?
I don't know. I don't have the title yet. Last I heard, they hadn't decided yet, but they come in big and they come in force.
Nice.
Is C. Dracula coming back?
I can neither confirm nor deny at this time, C. Dracula. I am sorry. I there will be Midnight Werewolf, which is another popular one.
C. Dracula, if you are uninformed, is a role-playing game, I believe, written by Portland local Jake Richmond.
Hi, Jake.
And it's a live-action theatrical dance role-playing game.
What?
Yep.
What?
Where you play lawyers of the animal kingdom underwater.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
And you have Pants Off, Dance Off.
And I won 1 year.
Pants off, Dance Off?
Yes. My first ever See Dracula, I won.
Well, congratulations.
With my character, Fritz Perl Cigarette, who is a capybara lawyer.
And we have the ever-popular panel track. For those of you who want to get some cerebral time, I'm going to give you a brief overview of some of the topics that are going to be covered this year, some but not all.
All right, let's hit us.
Disabilities in gaming.
Ooh. Hey. Actually, yeah. I would love to talk on that because as somebody with ADHD, dyslexia, and dyscalculia, I would love to talk on that.
Didn't we already have an episode about this?
So all I can say is at this time, the moderator on that one has a full panel, but okay. I'm sure if you were to contact the moderator, they might be able to put you on standby.
I could be a backup.
Yeah. It helps to bribe the moderator.
Does that moderator sit to my right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Does that moderator like Green Spot Whiskey?
Yes, he does.
Uh-huh.
We also have firearms, tactical versus gaming versus reality. I'm just going to say that if our good friend Matt Buckley makes it down, he's going to be dragged onto that one.
Yes, please.
Matt was in the audience last year for a similar panel, and the decision was made that if he shows up, we're Shanghaiing him.
Yep.
How many will actually he have?
Tear it apart.
That checks out.
There is a track on the RPG journey with lots of different elements to it. I will give one example. The RPG journey. Community building, equity, and inclusion. Then, mental health portrayals in games.
Oh, really?
Yes. The moderator might actually be looking for an additional person on that one. So if you know anyone.
I might know some people.
And then, preppers in gaming.
Oh. Really?
Just saying, you got to make it. It's going to be fun. There might be toys.
I'm nice. Sorry, what?
And one last item on your GameStorm experience is the whole slew of special events. Music events might be happening. Comedy events might be happening. And there might be a special event called Hammer Crawl.
Hammer Crawl.
Hammer Crawl.
Yes, ladies Hammer and crawl? Gentlemen, I'm going to turn this over to our leader, NPC, to talk about the special event we're doing at GameStorm.
Dice rollers and rock and rollers, you're needed more than ever now.
Hammercrawl is a pretty cool game. You should check it out on hammercrawl.com. We'll tell you more in the future as the details are nailed down. But the short version is we're running a live recorded game of our other sister podcast, Hammercrawl. Which is procedurally generated comedic dungeon crawl, meat grinder tournament style experience. I don't know how many other buzzwords I can throw into that.
Screw the buzzwords. Folks, we need people who can be loud, raucous, and fun and fill a room as we put four players through their paces. And when they die, you might be the next person in the chair.
Trippy McCork lives.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we hope to see you at GameStorm. Look at GameStorm.org. You can find us all there. Almost all the hosts are going to be there, and there's a bar.
And I think we might even meet you at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
I will be in the bar.
And people ask, Jake, That first day, it's a Thursday. Does anything really happen at the con on the Thursday?
No.
Heck yeah. We have our first game scheduled at 2 p.m. I am in panels starting at 3. We have two special events that night.
I don't get off work till 5:30. I might be at the bar at 7.
Cool.
Have a crawl. Have a crawl.
I love you.
Yeah, I brought a gift bag.
It's a baggie.
Oh,
it's tissue paper. Oh. My favorite.
This is why we got the candle off the table.
Why are we not taking pictures?
Because we're busy.
We will later.
So we are talking about breweries that have gone under. And
give me,
so
give me.
What I have brought for us is a number of Bridgeport Brewing beers. We have the Kingpin. There's also a new one that I just came out with, which again is kind of baffling considering that they're going under.
Which one is that?
This is the Orange Creamsicle Milkshake IPA. Oh, now he wants to exchange.
My Orange Creamsicle Milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Well, not anymore because they're going under.
Oh. My beer is...
Who else wants a Milkshake IPA?
Me.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
No more Bridgeport Brewing. No more Stumptown Tart.
I'm sorry, bro. Better red than dead.
Kingpin it is. Wenzel?
Sure. Oh, IPA? No, thanks.
All right, well, you want a Kingpin?
It's a milkshake.
Kingpin red?
Double red?
No, well, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, I gotta get a nice, I'll get a crack here of the can. You ready?
Right. Cracking the can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God, this creamsicle was amazing.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, that's tasty.
Okay, I say this after I've had like two of these ginger things.
And we were drinking whiskey beforehand too, folks.
So our Orange Creamsicle Milkshake IPA combines blood orange, vanilla, and lactose into a hopped up brew, creating the perfect balance of sweet and savory. Juicy and soft, this adult take on the childhood favorite is as delicious as it sounds. I bought this and I thought, how can this possibly be good? And it's really good.
Really good. Yeah.
This particular beer, the reason I passed on it is I've had it recently. It goes great when you've done a breakfast of sausage and home fries.
Ooh, I see that.
And I had that this morning.
And sunny side up eggs.
Mm.
And it's, you know, beer for breakfast isn't everybody's jam, but it goes fabulously with those things.
Poached eggs or get the fuck out.
This would go well with the breakfast that I had this morning.
Would it go
well? Which is in a place that I will not talk about unless you pay me money.
Does it go well with breakfast puppies?
Yeah, it does.
Everything goes well with breakfast puppies.
So you had breakfast in our neck of the woods?
No. Downtown.
That's what I meant. Our neck of the woods, since you and I literally work like 4 blocks from each other.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it sometime later.
Downtown breakfast. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sounds expensive.
So, we are bringing out the Bridgeport beer.
Because.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
I'm sorry, listener.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm sorry you have to hear this.
We should have brought our kazoos.
So Bridgeport Brewing announced the second week of February that they are closing on March 10th. Bridgeport is amongst the oldest.
It is.
Is the oldest brewery.
It is the oldest brewery you can drink in anyway.
In the state of Oregon.
You know, Portland. Bridgeport used to be cooler than it is now.
I miss the sawdust.
I miss the sawdust. I miss the peanut shells on the floor.
Yeah, I miss the dog food factory next door.
I miss the time when it wasn't in the Pearl, or it wasn't in an area that was the Pearl.
Right. It was the Pearl. It's just the Pearl
came
Pearl.
Around it.
Yeah. It was. I miss the cheaper food.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the time when it wasn't trying to convince the world that it was a bistro.
Mm.
Right.
When it was just a diner.
Even at the early, early days, like when the Pearl was just becoming a thing. I mean, even then, Bridgeport was giving us great stuff. Bridgeport was one of the original homes of Science on Tap here in Portland. Mm-hmm. And for folks like me who like nothing else rather than getting some pub food and drinking a bunch of beer and learning about science, it was amazing.
Don't they have a place on Hawthorne, or did that close?
They had one on Hawthorne.
They did,
for a
yeah.
while.
The Firkin. That was the Firkin place. That was fantastic.
It was near the Baghdad Theater.
Yeah, very close. It closed about 6-7 years ago, I think.
I know. I
just don't hang on Hawthorne anymore. You know,
I don't either. But I'm too old for it. I remember after doing a photo shoot with my friend Ben Z Mund, we all went to the Bridgeport on Hawthorne afterwards.
I remember
when I was in full zombie makeup, and then it was hilarious. I just made growling noises at the server. Sorry.
But even by that point, even by that point, they had escalated to the level of overpriced appetizers. If your appetizer costs $11 or $12,
don't.
Come on, dude. Come on.
I had an instance in which I was brewery hopping in Bend. And after the fifth brewery I went to, drinking a pint or two apiece at all of them, I wasn't buying food, I realized, because all of their food was like $12 to $18. And $12 to $18 is an exorbitant amount of money to spend on food. And I don't,
especially in a bar.
Again,
I get it. You're a brewery. You're still a fucking bar. And this is one of my critiques to a lot of the places that have shut down recently, is that they have decided that they wanted to go and pair their pretty good microbrews to amazing microbrews with fuck fancy food.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want that. I still want a burger. I still want some fries. I want some cheap pub food.
And my burger should not cost $12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. If you're going to be a beer place and you're not like, you're not in an area that you essentially own, such as Hood River, which is essentially owned by Full Sail.
Right.
Like if you're going to be a boutique brew pub, you need to corner your market. And Bridgeport did not corner that market. No. Other people had done it better and sooner than they did. That's how McMenamins exists. Hmm. Bridgeport is not McMenamins. And from what I heard, part of their collapse is due to them pushing in two different directions at the same time, trying to both distribute beer and do fancy brew pubs.
Yeah, they lost their differentiator. Mm-hmm. And that was the big thing, both in their beer and in their establishments. I mean, Deschutes, which did do what they were talking about. Like, you can walk into just about any Walmart in this state and pick up a sixer of Deschutes. You can also go to their brew pubs and buy food that's actually worth $12.
Their food's good.
I've
had it.
And let me tell you, their standards on cooks is insane, but they actually set that up as a differentiator, whereas Bridgeport never really figured out what they wanted to be.
Hmm.
The other thing, too, that I've noticed with a couple of these brew pubs that have gone under recently is that they have gone and not been terribly innovative with the new products that they have put out. I love Bridgeport. Bridgeport had some good stuff, but for the long time, they rested their laurels on their original Bridgeport IPA, which was great 20 years ago.
Not for a long time. Forever.
Forever, until today. Their original IPA was great 25 years ago. But by today's standards, it's not interesting. And again, I'm drinking a new IPA they just put out, this Milkshake Orange Creamsicle IPA. This is fucking great. Where was this 10 years ago? This is good.
I mean, we have to address the fact that there's been a number of other closures in Portland recently from breweries that have been more inventive. Burnside Brewing and Breakside. Yeah. Did Breakside close?
No.
Portland
Brewing closed.
And a number of them have closed down shops.
Portland Brewing shut down their restaurant pub, not the brewing operation.
My understanding is Widmer is going to close their drinking room as well. Yes.
Yeah, they're shutting down their restaurant and drinking room.
Yeah. It's going to be actually at this point that the oldest brewery where you can drink where the brew is actually made is McMenamins.
Hillsdale.
Yeah.
So my question is, why this sudden mass shutdown of breweries and brew pubs in Portland? My experience with going to these places is that they're always busy. They always seem to be doing really well. They have a presence. Bridgeport has a presence in most of our grocery stores here.
Oh, yeah. For years.
What it did not seem to me as a outside layperson, to be fair, that there was any kind of problem with the market. So what is going on there? What's the bigger picture?
Bridgeport, when they put out their closing announcement, actually showed their sales numbers.
Oh, wow.
And it was just straight down. It was a very downward slope, and it had been since like 2010.
Oh, wow.
Your question about the market as a whole is that a lot of places have sunk a lot of money into the food and event end of the establishment. And in some cases, like Portland Brewing, word on the street, unlike Bridgeport, which shared its numbers flat out, word on the street is they were undercapitalized to begin with. And there's some rumors that Burnside was actually in the same boat. And so that undercapitalization and pouring extra cost trying to keep a food venue open in the hyper competitive, not like we're talking hyper capitalism at its strongest.
Absolutely.
Food market in Portland.
So I got a list of places. Alameda on Fremont closed
right when I moved to Fremont.
Oh, wow.
Thanks.
Yeah. Alameda was really good. Here's the thing about Alameda is that they didn't distribute. They only sold through their various local places. But that place closed.
So they're not brewing at all.
No,
they're gone. They're gone.
Burnside.
Wow. Black gone. Bear Stout. Yellow Wolf.
Widmer's Pub. Gone. Burnside. Gone. Portland Brewing. Gone. Plus the pub.
Wow.
Gone.
Now, wait, that's not Portland Brewing in Northwest, is it?
Portland Brewing.
That's really old. Yeah. I mean, it's Lompoc's, been bought by Pyramid.
Lompoc's Northwest location. Gone.
Wow.
Fatheads.
Following on the loss of their Southeast location. So that's two within 2 years.
Lompoc so still has one left. But we'll see.
Yeah, the fifth quadrant is the thing that's left.
So good.
Fatheads. Gone.
Well, they're
however,
from
Fatheads,
anyway.
Fatheads, if I remember correctly,
they're from Ohio.
They have become a different brewery in the same location.
Vaughn,
owned by the same people.
Von Erberts or something like that. So
that's Fatheads version.
And it's not Portland, but Seven Brides, gone.
Wow.
Now, things that are not leaving, and I'll tell you why. Lucky Labrador is the only one on my list. Lucky Labrador is not leaving because they don't try to fucking double in their strategy.
Oh, for their food?
Yeah. Lucky Labrador does brew pubs, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
They have
that
a target.
Super dog friendly.
Super dog friendly. They actually have expensive food, but it's the only place you can get their beer. And if you like their beer, and you like their food, and you like the atmosphere that they have, Lucky Labrador does a thing, and they do it well.
And they know their differentiator.
Yep. Yeah.
And they are trying to capitalize on a local market.
And I think a lot of things with opening a restaurant in general, and this is anywhere. I mean, I've seen this in small towns. I've seen this with wine bars, restaurants, brew pubs, et cetera, et cetera. And especially when you're opening a brewery or a gastro pub or something like that, is it seems like a lot of people have a passion for food and a passion for making beer, but don't realize how high the overhead is when you're going into these endeavors.
So one of the quick question around the table, I'm sure most of us are familiar with OLCC law that states that for the most part, you have to sell food at your alcohol serving establishment. If you have hard liquor.
I know places that, anyway.
You can also source it out. Whatever.
Come on. Kelly's Olympian existed for years on a cooler of ice and bologna sandwiches.
Kelly's Olympian actually has really good food now.
But I mean,
I go there for lunch because it's good.
For decades, they had coolers with bologna sandwiches.
So many bars with ramen noodles and freaking jalapeno poppers.
Count it.
So, or the Yamhill pub that just had a menu that they always said, yeah, we're actually out of that. Try the Subway.
They don't sell
the
liquor. They're a beer bar, right?
Yamhill?
They sold liquor.
Really? I always said they were a beer and wine bar.
No. You haven't lived till you've done a tequila shot at the end.
Another episode.
Lentzel, when
I'm
you taking
okay
me?
Dead. As long as I don't die that way.
Lentzel, when you taking me?
When are we? When are we all going?
I haven't been for years.
So the question I have is: do we think, considering the incredibly high food cost overhead, would these places still be around if they didn't have to go and serve food?
I'm not
sure. I think it's the opposite.
Okay.
I think it's the opposite. I think that, what the fuck is this? Bridgeport. Bridgeport. Bridgeport would still be around if they didn't bougie up their brew pub.
If it was just pizza still?
If it was just
pizza and beer.
Like, it, and you know what? I get it, rising rent costs, but you know what? Burnside and Portland Brewing both had brew pubs in the fucking fanciest parts of growing rent costs. Burnside Brewing was across the street from Bossa Nova Ballroom, mm-hmm. which is like right there on the east side, which is the largest growing area.
Right across from the B-side Tavern, too. To
I was going to say, when Burnside moved in there, it wasn't all hot shit.
Exactly.
No. I mean, let's just be real. They are literally blocks from Union Jacks.
Yeah.
I know. And
I hope Union Jacks doesn't go away, because that'll be a real travesty.
We know they're run by the Russian mob.
As long as the Russian mob exists, Union Jacks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Nice.
But, yeah, the Russian mob runs them,
Burnside
for sure.
Brewing had an extremely high rent location that was skyrocketing, doubling, basically, almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
They could have either closed their food operations entirely and just focused on brewing, and their beer was pretty good. I would go to the store
and peace, alter ego.
Buy their beer from the store, or they should have shut down their national distribution and focused entirely on local. But like so many places, they kind of tried to double dip, and they didn't balance it out well. The differential, as you said.
You know, the other thing we haven't talked about here is Portland's consistently growing brewery scene, and the fact that we've got so many breweries that are opening and closing. I mean, it's a natural progression that there's going to be some of the old guard that's going to go the way of the dodo when all these new guys come in.
And I think we can't always predict the market. I mean, look at the last 10 years in Portland. I'm not sure any of us could have predicted where we are today with, you know, the 30-40% rent increase in the last 10 years, everything that's been going on. I'm not sure anybody could have predicted that. However, that's the risk you take in business. You've got to speculate to accumulate. And sometimes it's a roll of the dice. And sometimes you roll a one instead of a 20.
All I'm going to say is that there are established brew pubs and breweries in town that have played it more conservative.
Mm.
They've gone for the long haul rather than the short haul.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't chase the trends. They didn't think that California money moving into Portland was going to float them, not just rent cut prices. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Lancel, you raised a great point. And to be honest, I've talked to a couple friends who work in the industry, and we are at a point where the Portland scene is kind of cannibalizing itself,
mm-hmm.
and that's where definitely part of what's costing us.
So real quick, around the table, for all these breweries that are closing down, may they rest in peace, what beer are you going to go and miss the most?
Yellow Wolf.
Yellow Wolf from Alameda.
Let's go around the table. So Yellow Wolf, why? Yep.
I have
very fuzzy memories.
No.
Keep it short.
I'll keep it short.
Getting to the point. Running low on time here.
It's a beer that I can ride out to the middle of nowhere and listen to country music and drink.
Me? Not necessarily a beer. However, this is my first time having this milkshake IPA, and it's delicious, and I'm going to lament the fact that I cannot get any more. But what I am going to miss the most is also Alameda. I'm going to miss not their beer, but their location. Mm-hmm. It was a really good place to go on Fremont
mm-hmm.
and have a conversation with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can walk in and have
that was a really
I liked
nice
that
place.
The music wasn't super loud. The tables were large and spacious, but the ceiling was so high that the conversation wasn't the sound of the location wasn't overwhelming everything, and I will miss that.
One of the things that Lucky Labrador nails in spades, high ceilings.
So key. You know, for me, it's more personal. The new old Lompoc in Northwest 23rd was blocks away from an old home of mine, and I used to go there all the time, and I will definitely miss their sockeye cream stout, which was a favorite of mine. I know that it wasn't the strongest dark beer or the most potent, but it has a near and dear heart or near and dear place for me in my heart because it was one of the first places that I drank in Portland.
So I'm actually really sad about this because Bridgeport Brewing's Stumptown Tart was the beer that got me to like beer.
Yeah.
That was legit one of the first
I remember that
beers I ever enjoyed. And that was the beer that opened me up to the world of beer and made me realize there were, 'cause I was a cider drinker. I would drink cider. I would drink wine. I would drink cocktails before that. I did not like beer until I had the Stumptown Tart, and I will miss that greatly.
Let's find a case of it and save it.
It was a seasonal. I don't think you can get it right now.
That is true. The Stumptown Tart from Bridgeport came out once a year, always with the very same pinup model, Bernie Dexter, whom
really?
I got to meet once. And she signed, oh no, she's real. She's gorgeous. Amazing. And she's very nice.
Aww.
And she poses for them every year for the Stumptown Tart. And one year I got a poster signed by her and a bottle signed by her.
We need a picture of this for proof.
We need her on our podcast.
But Xander, closing this out, what are you going to miss the most?
You know, it was funny. I was going to say the Stumptown Tart from Bridgeport as well, because that release every single year was so damn good.
I would look forward to it every
different
summer.
And always interesting. But I'm going to go with Burnside Brewing just because I had a lot of good conversations outside on their patio there before. They had really, really good food, actually. And their Alter Ego Double IPA was so good. And they didn't advertise it a lot. They didn't sell it in stores. They only sold it at the brew pub. And that Alter Ego was outstanding. And I'm going to miss that tremendously.
And I'm going to close this out by saying, Ninkasi, gigantic. If you ever close, we're going to have words.
Not kind ones. I mean, kind afterwards, but not initially.
Although Rogue, you can find the door anytime you want.
Oh.
Fuck Rogue.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol. Get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
We're closing out the episode. We've had the Yazzie with this bitter milk number 5.
That stuff is strong.
Shockingly. Well, okay. So someone has a heavy pour.
Somebody has a heavy.
Yeah, that might have been me.
You know, we had initially said 2 parts bitter milk to 1 part.
That's what I aim for.
Yazzie. No, I watched you pour my second one, and it was the opposite.
Are you trying to roll our host, sir?
Hey, I've always been known to pour things a little stiff.
What do we think about the Yazzie?
It was delicious.
It was very delicious. Tasty.
That was really tasty.
Sean, good call.
Thank you, Sean.
I liked it more than I thought I would, considering that it came from HRD, Hoover Distillery, maker of Gut Rot.
Yes.
And yet somehow this managed to be delicious.
And then we moved on to Bridgeport Brewing. May you rest in peace.
May you rest in peace.
Because no drinking podcast is complete without mixing of liquor and beer.
Facts.
We had the very interesting, recently released milkshake IPA.
Orange creamsicle.
My fingers were covering it, man. Give me some credit.
Honestly, I'm really sad that I'm never going to be able to get this again.
I understand. That was my thought when I had it. We also had the Kingpin Double Red IPA.
Stronger than I expected.
I haven't tried 7. That. Has anybody got any left? I can take a little sip.
I actually am a huge lover of red ales, whether they're IPA or
not.
And when I moved out here, this became my go-to when I was in the mood for a red ale and I was walking into a non-brewery bar.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think about the beer? I mean, obviously the creamsicle's a winner by
so good.
Yeah.
I knocked down one of these Kingpins, and I gotta say it hit me a little harder than I was expecting. 7.5 is no
Holy
joke.
Holy mackerel.
It's a double red.
Yes, it is a double red.
It's not as hoppy as I was expecting, but Holy I really crap. Appreciated that because when you start to get into a stronger beer, I feel like the higher hops
is. And milkshake is 7.2.
Oh gosh, I did not see that.
So
oh, dear.
This is why they went out of business.
Oh dear.
So
beers are so good.
Folks, you have mere days left. Here's a quick recipe tip from Just Jacob. Poach a turkey breast in the milkshake IPA. You might think it sounds weird, but it's actually fabulous, especially with a side of German potato salad.
Are you cooking that for me next Thursday?
Only if you're coming to Amanda's.
So
maybe
I do believe we are talking about having a Biker's Dyson Bar eulogy to Bridgeport March 9th.
Yes.
We're going to try real hard.
Okay. Folks, I will not be here. I am going to be out of town on a work event. I will be with you in spirit.
Can we get like a life-size cardboard cut out of you?
Not anymore.
What?
That invites so many more questions.
So March 9th? I thought you said it was March 10th
That's the day that they are officially no longer be in business.
So March 9th is their last night at the Bridgeport location.
That is our assumption, yes.
And I will be posting a music video to the Biker's Dyson Bars list that I request to be played.
Like on a jukebox?
If it's available.
Or just on a phone in the bar on Saturday night.
It has become my official close down the bar song.
Oh.
Just the last call for alcohol.
No.
Flogging Molly?
It is similar.
We can hope.
Dropkick Murphys? Pogues?
No, it's an Australian band.
Well, anyway,
are their teeth as bad as the Pogues?
Yes, it's Australian band.
Yikes. We just lost Australia.
March 9th, we are going to try and get as many of us as we can to show up at the Bridgeport Northwest location in the Pearl.
Probably around 8 p.m.
What is definitely going to be their last night? Hopefully they're going to be open that night. That would suck if they weren't. We'll just show up there anyway. So if you show up at around 8 p.m., you might find us smoking outside.
With the last of the six packs we have just purchased.
Please take it into the gutter. Please take a Lyft or an Uber or a radio cab.
It's in the Northwest. You can also take the
Max
streetcar,
and the trolley.
Max streetcar.
So, Xander, you weren't with us on the last episode, but I understand you have some commentary.
I do. So I also agreed with the Sapphire Hotel recommendation. I'm not going to mention the other place that I talked about off the air.
And that being a romantic bar.
A romantic bar location. Yes. Correct. There's another one that I will take my sweetie to at some point that she's not going to know about just quite yet.
And I need to
I
talk.
Know what it is.
It's a secret to everyone.
I know what it
even
is.
Even to her, she doesn't know. However, off the air. Goodness gracious. Also, you had a talk about going and playing games in which one person goes and plays the game, the other one just kind of goes and commands all of the action of the game, which is something that I am currently doing with my girlfriend, in which I command all of the controls of Fallout 3, and she goes and says, do this, do that, don't go down there, subways are horrifying, stop that, go away, oh god, more ghouls, wrong place, wait, not feral ghoul, best friend, be friends.
And want video. Either that or I just want to sit across the room and watch.
It's really good.
Is her favorite companion? Dog meat?
There might be judgment here, just for fair warning.
We have not gotten to a companion in Fallout.
What?
I know. I'm very excited for her to find companions in Fallout New Vegas.
The New Vegas companions are pretty fucking cool.
I have also introduced Just Jacob's sweetie to
the Lego?
Oh, god damn.
Jurassic Park. NPC and I both corroborated to introduce Just Jacob's sweetie to Lego Jurassic World, and we only had I was hanging out with Jacob's sweetie, and we were just passing the controller back and forth depending on who wanted to play at the time, and it was amazing.
I'll be honest, the Lego games are fantastic games to play two-player local co-op because they're silly. They're ridiculous, and you can play them with the controller on the same screen.
In fact, I really want to go play with her more.
Yeah. Not everybody's into the simplicity of the games, but if you like that campy style approach to gameplay, they're fun.
Nathaniel, Poppy, since you brought it up, I was going to do this off the air, but I'm going to do it on the air.
We're already married. We can't marry you.
I mean,
yet.
Yeah, man.
Yet.
I mean, talk to your lobbyists.
You were there.
I was there. I was the one who married you.
That's true. The OLCC married us.
But Amanda really appreciates that. And you actually made her day.
Yay.
So thank you for introducing Lego Jurassic Park.
Solancha.
So another romantic game that I've been playing lately with my girlfriend is even actually on Valentine's Day as I was forsaking the podcast. As we were sitting in Poshines, we were playing on...
I fucking love Poshines.
Poshines is so good.
Best Northwest, North Denver?
Yeah.
Best... Mm. Hush puppies in the Pacific Northwest.
Uh-huh. I challenge that.
Really?
Nope. Nope. You don't get to.
Mobile, Alabama, born and raised.
Better than Miss
Poshines. Poshines hush puppies are better than anything I had in my life before coming to this town. So, anyways, Xander,
you and I need to take
so. As we're there sitting waiting for our dinner, we decided to go on our mobile phones and played Hearthstone against each other.
Oh, wow. My God.
You know, that is a really fun game to play with someone, provided that you're not getting sucked into the microtransaction trap.
Which we have never done.
Good.
We just go and we play for fun, and we were just making really kind of, you know, shit-talking commentary back and forth to each other while playing, waiting for our food and having a good time with it. Also because I've been teaching her how to play lately, too. So when I lose, it's my fault.
Hearthstone is so romantic.
I've
way more romantic than Artifact.
I feel so close to you, my brother, because I've wanted to do that. Unfortunately, I am of Android and my sweetie is of Apple.
Tragic.
You can still play.
Apparently not.
I will say that just to add a little romantic multiplayer gaming that my wife and I have been embracing. We've been playing all the way through Far Cry 5. And let me say, there's nothing more romantic than putting a bullet in the skull of a religious cultist.
Yes.
Wait. So is Far Cry 5 the Midwest one or the post-apocalyptic?
It's the one set in Montana, near not too far from Missoula. You're trapped in a Montana valley with a religious cult.
White people.
They're all white. They all listen to bad music, and they're all deeply religious.
Whoa!
Define bad music. Are we talking like
it's religious music?
Kid Rock and Limp Bizkit?
It's all religious music.
No.
You take that back, sir.
Like, anytime somebody starts to sing Amazing Grace, I want to pull out a bow and arrow and shoot them in the face.
No, because my heart starts hearing the pipes.
Same.
All right, let's go ahead and close this out. Any final thoughts tonight on the drinks?
I am really quite sad about Bridgeport closing. They made some really good products, and I enjoyed going to their brew pub when it was open. And I am sad about that.
For Linsel, I just want to let him know that I once was lost and now I'm found. But his eyes bulging out.
I'm glad to hear that.
Great. I'm also sad about Bridgeport. I was able to find two of their six packs today on the way to the podcast, and I just felt like I really had to bring them in.
And thank you.
And especially you this much. Damn orange creamsicle milkshake IPA is so good.
Which goes so good with the Girl Scout.
You're going to fill our freezer with it.
Makes me so mad. On sale at Safeway on Fremont right now.
So my thoughts about the booze that we've imbibed tonight. They put me in the spirit where I need to take a Thursday off and figure out how to come here in advance of everybody and cook everybody a fabulous dinner.
Yes, please.
I am down for a fabulous dinner. You know, as far as everything that I've drunk tonight, I've been very happy. I'd say probably the characteristic that I most am tied to is the fact that I am drunk.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. This is one of the first times I've seen you this drunk.
Yeah. You know, that Yazzie, I poured myself a stiffy and it was no joke.
We can get you a Lyft or an Uber home if you need.
Oh, well, I'll be all right. I might just chill for a touch.
Yeah, just chill for a while.
And that Yazzie really did me in.
Holy shit, I was not expecting
that.
I just don't understand you people.
Well, you know, the bottle is gorgeous. And I think we should get Greg to make a lamp out of this. Not the Scrag, but our other friend, Greg.
Who doesn't listen to this podcast.
Who doesn't listen to this podcast. He'll make a beautiful lamp out of this.
See, bottle. I want to put peach wine in there.
Oh.
Dragon peach wine.
So my final thoughts are that of all the things that we've had this evening, of which there were not that many, I enjoyed the Yazi mixed with the grapefruit.
Bitter milk.
Bitter milk number five. That was a really fantastic concoction. And Sean, you did me a solid. This was a really good birthday gift. Thank you very much. It's a month, three months, almost 3 months now. I forget time. No, a little bit over 2 months.
From your birthday?
Yeah.
A little over 2 months.
Just a few days over 2 months passed. And finally have imbibed this, and it was a good choice.
Yeah, thank you, guy who recommended bitter milk in the store, too. Whoever he was.
Yeah, whoever that was. I think it was at Hood River Distillery.
Mm. We will be taking a picture so you can track this down.
That bitter
milkshake
great.
IPA I am going to miss. And Xander, now that I know that it is at Safeway, I am going to go buy
buy a bunch of it.
Six packs.
How the fuck did this come out of South Carolina?
Okay, South Carolina, in their defense, are making great things lately. I went to several of their distilleries. They're doing good things. You take that back.
So anyway, let's go ahead and close this out by saying goodbye to Bridgeport.
Goodbye, Bridgeport.
We will miss you, and I'm sure that the Leverage crew will miss you.
Yeah, they got to find a new home base. Yeah.
And
they're going back to Boston.
Back to Boston.
I hope not.
You know, you've brought so many good things to Oregonians as a whole, and Portland in particular.
And
we're going to miss you.
Any of you listening happen to know any of the brewers at any of the breweries that we've mentioned, be it Burnside, Bridgeport, Lompoc,
Portland,
let us know. And we'd love to get you on to hear your last words and to find out some thoughts that you have on working in the industry.
Bonus points if you're nerdy or if you ride a bicycle or a motorcycle.
You know, our general
not
rule
required.
Is, no, our no, rule is true. You got to have at least two of the
at
three.
At least two.
You got to be into biking or into riding or into drinking. Two of those three, and we'll get you on here. Until then, you've been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars here in Portland, Oregon. Once again, I am NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais and Bethesda the Chicken.
And a Tinsel, but with an L.
Reminding you to always drink responsibly.
Always keep it rubber side down.
Always tip your bartender.
May your dice always roll 20s.
And patronize your local breweries.
Yes.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, while we get a little tanked on this podcast, please remember that two of us live here and the rest of us sober up before we go home. Always, always drive safe.
Thanks for joining us, friends. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all that.
So what y'all aren't going to hear until this is in the cutscene for this episode is that we're all getting really tanked.
Yeah, this stuff is strong.
And
this drink is really strong.
I'm sorry, Lenzel, can you say that again?
This stuff is strong.
Staying on task is extremely difficult. And poor Nathaniel, it's always like herding cats.
I'm sorry, porn Nathaniel?
No, poor Nathaniel. Porn Nathaniel is like...
So many plosives in my ears right now.
God. It's normally like herding cats, but tonight it's like herding drunk cats. Mm. So God bless you, NPC.
Man, if your cats drink this Yazi stuff, they're going to be out of their mind.
Do not feed this to pets.
This stuff is strong.